Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You know, the road of fandom... You know, it's a little complicated here. And I think somewhere along the way with this Knicks team, because it's not really like this with any other team, this has been a very unique year. I don't mean like the Knicks fandom in general. I mean specific to this year, which is also unique because the Knicks have more fans than any other team in the city because everybody roots for the Knicks and baseball and football split. But, you know, usually there's a belief and there's... I don't know. There's less of a scattered thought as to what the team can accomplish. Like, you know, Met fans. All right, I'm not saying there aren't varying degrees of belief here, but you know, Met fans right now feeling really good. Yankee fans, you know, a little concerned. No, Jet fans, Giant fans, very aware of, you know, rebuilding, resetting, whatever it might be. Now, for a team that's good, like the Knicks are. There hasn't been a ton of conviction in what they can accomplish this year. And I think that that's bothered some of you. I think it's confused some of you. But that doesn't mean that it wasn't an accurate portrayal of, or maybe still is to an extent, of where we've been and where we are. You know, just because you win 50 games the year before, you know, and you bring in some pieces that on paper might look better and statistically are better, doesn't mean it's just going to keep rolling. So to me, this has been a 6-7 month evaluation, and as I said earlier in the show, for the first time since they actually started camp, and certainly started the season, I believe in the Knicks more than I have all year. I know it's easy to say that after a win, but it's for all the reasons I documented, you know? They just look more connected, tougher. They're growing, and it's awesome. 888-808-1019, Teddy's in Belrose, New York. What's up, Ted?
Brandon, I can't agree with you more about being excited about the Knicks, but I will say this. For all those who wanted to throw Thibodeau under the bus, for all those who were chastising Bridges for his, I don't know, for either being aloof or just not being connected, you got to bear in mind, Rome was never built in a day, okay? The Oklahoma City Thunder are the heavy favorites to win the NBA championship. Why? Because they have a core. This Knicks team, adding on Cat and adding on Bridges, this is the first year when you think about it, when you really think about it. So it does take a while for a team to gel, connect, and get the chemistry at a high octane. Last night might be the first indication that this team is reaching high octane.
It might. And by the way, Ted, it might, but then I think you still have to prove, and I'm still going to need to see from Tom Thibodeau that he's a championship coach, which up until this point,
he's just not. I agree with you, but you know what? He's got resources at his disposal. And I agreed with you before, and I think I mentioned to you last week, why wasn't Achiuwa put into that series against the Pistons?
And I
agree
with you.
Now we've got a chance to see him.
Yep. And I agreed with you, Teddy. I'm like, yeah, I don't need to see him 20 minutes a night, but we're not going to see that unless, God forbid, somebody gets hurt or there's even more foul issues than there were last night. There is no reason why Precious Achiuwa shouldn't play 3-4 minutes each half. There's just no reason. And then depending upon the score, the situation, you know, maybe you let him in for 6-7 minutes straight in the second quarter if things are going well. I mean, I don't know why he didn't use him at all. Now he's fresh, but it's a viable, bouncy body who is tough and you know, he's not a star. Doesn't need to be. They got enough of those. Jerry's in Washington Heights. What up, Jer?
How we doing, BT?
Jerry, what's happening?
All right, so I want to talk about Devin Williams, right? And in all honesty, I'm a Met fan, so I just want to get that out there to begin with. Mm-hmm. But let's look at it from an outside perspective. He has been one of the best relievers in the last 5 years in baseball. We agree on that?
Oh, he's been the best.
The best? Okay, there you go. I was trying to be not too going too crazy one way or the other. But he only played, last year, he only played 30 games, right? Because he had a bad back.
Yeah, back issue,
right? And backs are a little tricky. We agree on that.
No,
right?
I had back surgery, so I get it.
You got it, right? So then on the other hand, you look, he's getting traded from Milwaukee, right? And Milwaukee is not a bad organization. For a middle market team, they're smart. They're in the playoffs every other year, that kind of thing. So they know what they're doing, the Milwaukee organization, right?
Yep.
So you look at the trade they did. They traded, as you said, the best reliever in baseball, were Nestor Cortez and a prospect that was really kicking some butt in the Arizona League, right? Durbin, I guess.
Yeah, it was pretty hot. Yeah, Durbin. Durbin was highly thought of, so it's not like they just took a scrub. But yeah, keep going.
Yeah. So there you have that going on. And now you're saying, okay, so it was and you look at it this way, if I'm being a Met fan, if we talked in January, if we give up McGill and maybe Mauricio or someone like that to get Williams, it'd be like, oh, that's a great trade because we got a stud to go with Diaz. So, like, I was a little surprised that we didn't do something like that being the Mets. But then again, Stearns comes from the Milwaukee organization. He knows what's going on. Now, with that being said, then you look at the playoffs last year, and we all know, BT, you look at it, Alonso caught one, and it went out, and that was it. And that happens to everybody. You mentioned earlier today that even happened to Mariano,
right?
That
happened to Dennis Eckersley. So I mean, every one of them, of course. 100%. Yeah. Yep.
Right.
Goose.
Right. But here's what I want you to do. Look at the year before against the Diamondbacks. Mm-hmm. When he played in the playoffs there, his ERA was over 8. So now the question comes back, the big market, the big stage, can he play in that? Mm. That's what I would look at.
Yeah, you know, I didn't even really incorporate that. That's something I'm going to dig into just out of curiosity. Thanks for the call there, bud. I appreciate it. If you missed it, listen, here's what I think they should do with Devin Williams. Nothing. I think you can compound it, and I think you can lose him for the whole season. Not that there's any guarantee that he regenerates and you get him back, but I think if you banish him to long relief, all right, Yankees are up 13-2. All right, Devin, come on, figure it out. Work on your windup or you find your stuff in the game. I think that's the wrong move. I think it was the right move, although I was a little surprised they did it, but I give them credit. I didn't think they'd do it so soon. It was the right move getting him out of that spot because you have somebody in Weaver who can do the job. So that was transferable. I know he tripped up a little bit last night, but Weaver is money. I like his disposition. I think he's got good stuff. I think if you just drop him, you know, hey, go disappear with some long tossing and, you know, some side sessions when nobody's here at the stadium at 5 o'clock in the afternoon and you don't pitch unless you're up or down big, I don't know that that's going to get him back. Now, there's no guarantee that he gets it back at all. His fastball is down. And that's why I was doing this morning. He uses it less, and it's 93.6 miles per hour, which is his average fastball. Hey, by the way, 93.6 miles per hour fastball, that's a hell of a fastball. in 1990. You know, and if it's, even though it's only a mile, that's off. That difference, that variation, now it makes the changeup just a tick less offensive. And you give these guys at this level just that much of an advantage, it's over. They're going to figure you out. So he's got to get his head right. He's got to get his stuff right. And not that I would necessarily bet on him doing well, but if the Yankees have a chance to roll him out there tonight in a similar spot, I'm doing it. I don't know if Booney will do it, but I would do it. Let me get Ross up at West Point. Love West Point. What's going on, Ross? How you doing?
Hey, man. Thanks for taking my call. Love your work.
Thank you, buddy.
I am 58 years old. I am a Knicks fan. I am losing my mind right now. What the Knicks did last night is they showed the Celtics that they could take a punch on the jaw. Like, the Celtics, they figured the first two rounds of the playoffs were going to be a walk, and they didn't think the Knicks were ready for this. Like, that, I truly believe that. Like, I think that they did not expect the Knicks to respond after they were down by a dozen and a half.
Yeah.
I don't think they expected the Knicks to be able to lock up the last two or three minutes of the fourth quarter the way they did. Like, I think the Knicks showed something last night. And to your original point, you know, you were asking about what does Tibbs need from these guys off the bench? He just needs to trust them, you know? And the problem is, guys like McBride, they're just not playing enough minutes, you know? Like, how do you get the guys the minutes to play to a point where your coach is going to trust you to put in more minutes when you don't get the minutes,
yeah,
right?
I agree.
Like, so the guys, you know, and he's been like that with his bench all year. I didn't expect any different from him.
Mm-hmm.
I figured he'd find a few souls on the bench that would rally and would bleed for the guy, and I think he's done that. Like, you know, I've questioned his coaching during the season. I couldn't do it last night. I just couldn't.
Yeah.
You know, it was a chess match that he won. It was brilliant.
Yeah, and by the way, I think if you're trying, Ross, thanks for the call, man. If you're trying to nitpick and still look for something wrong last night, now I think we're just hating. And I'm not here to hate on Tom Thibodeau. I've told you what I thought about Tom. I think he's really good, but I've always thought he's just slightly short of great. And I think you need to be great to win a championship. Last night, he handled business. And I've been imploring him, you know, hey, show us another level. Let me see that. Show me that I'm wrong. Well, step one. Now, Hoff, have you seen any update on Sam Hauser? You know, I don't know that there's really a Nick correlation here. Actually, there's not. In terms of value, Hauser plays 22 minutes a night. He shoots 42% from three. And he's a high-volume three-point taker. It takes six a night. So, I mean, he just crumpled. I don't think he's playing tomorrow night. I don't think he's playing game three Wednesday Saturday at the Garden. So he's talking about a player who plays big minutes for a reserve, has the complete, he actually started like 20 games this year as well. You know, averages almost double figures and is a lights out 3-point shooter and a good ball mover. Like, that is a big problem for them. No, that's their problem. Let's get, Mike is in Mountainside. What's up, Mike?
BT, what's up, Al? How are you?
Good, Mike. How you doing?
Good. I just want to make a quick shout out. I'm a baseball coach at Elizabeth High School. Shout out to you, Miniman. Big game today.
Who are you playing?
Today against Union Senior Day.
Who are you playing?
We're playing Union.
All right.
Today's our senior day.
Today's our senior day. So anybody going to play in college next year?
We got a couple guys going, you know, junior college route. Got a couple guys going to Rutgers Newark, so we're very excited.
That's fantastic. Good luck, man. That's a good job, Mike.
Yeah. So one thing about Devin Williams. So I know he's struggling. You know, he had a couple good shots, you know, a few days in a row. But, I mean, Boone can't put him in there with a wet track in a really tough, rainy situation to try to come up in a big spot there. I mean, you're just giving him a way out to say, hey, listen, the track, you know, was not great last night. You know, that's why I didn't have my stuff. I mean, that's not a real good spot for him to be, especially because he's struggling.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's tough. I know he's a professional. I get it, but you heard him. He even said it in the post game.
I heard it.
That the track, you couldn't get footing. I mean, like, that's just, honestly, he's a professional. He's a great reliever, but that's a sellout from him.
I don't want to
hear
it.
Really is.
Yeah, listen, Mike, I don't want to hear it. Carlos Rodon went 6 2/3. He threw 95 pitches, 60-something were strikes. He walked one guy in the rain. Enough. I don't want to.
Yeah.
And Cruz was terrific.
Yeah.
You know, and listen, a couple, whether it was Rueger or Matsui, pretty good relieving for the Padres, too. So, no, he just didn't get the job done.
I know. It's just, it's so tough. I mean, you know, he's looking for a way out. He looks like he's lost out there. It's a tough spot, but, like, we're you're a professional athlete, my man.
Oh.
Professional athlete. It's tough, but... Thanks for the time. I appreciate it.
No, Mike, you got to enjoy senior day. Hopefully you guys get in. I don't know. Is the weather clearing up? I know my daughter's got a softball game tonight. Yeah. That's fun. Boy, it's so different coaching my son and my daughter. Hoff, you coach Ant. How's Ant season going, by the way? I know you guys had the opening parade this weekend, no?
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, we had the opening day. We had the opening parade. Terry Collins was there. It was on the 4th of May, so it was the May the 4th be with you.
That's why they were stormtroopers. Yes. Okay. Yeah. All right, a couple of questions. Number one, when is Terry coming on the show? He was there. When did you book him?
I didn't book him, but that's not a problem.
Number two, did you see my boy Jorge?
I did, yes. George was there.
How's he doing?
He's always looking good. That guy is fit. You two are like... neck and neck with the fitness, but he says he doesn't work out anymore.
Yeah, it's funny. Now, Georgie, you know, so Hoff knows, I played ball with Georgie at Marist. He got drafted by the Mets in round 22, 23, Long Island kid, lives near, in Hoff's hood now.
Played or was dormed with Plawecki.
Yes, he did. He played 1 year, but he could have played again, but he wanted to go make some money, do his thing. Great guy, smart guy. And Georgie was thin, you know, quick twitch, like naturally, like cut, like thinner. And then, you know, then he got a little, don't take it the wrong way, Georgie. I love he got a little thicker. I saw a picture of him over the weekend. I'm like, Georgie got himself back in shape. He's looking like the Georgie that I knew back in the day at Marist.
He's looking jacked.
The girls used to love him.
I'm sure his wife loves him a lot too.
Well, of course. Well, absolutely. I'm just saying, but. Now, Georgie had some suitors around campus.
Yes,
we all did.
But no, it was a good time, good experience, and just you know, fun. We have like 650 kids that signed up. So
that many,
yeah.
Now, does that count T-ball and going up to what age?
T-ball to 12.
Does that count softball? It has to.
Yes. Girls are involved too.
So. And do the girls softball? Because we did T-ball. I coached my daughter's T-ball. Do the girls do T-ball? Or are they just starting like underhand pitch?
No, they do T-ball as well. That's awesome. So it's really really good league.
I love it, man. I know Eastchester has a good league up there. Like so many, our league is really good as well. Like I'm very proud of where I'm from. Like we built a new field and all that stuff. Whatever, we take it serious. A lot of dads played collegiately. We have good infrastructure, but. Like where I grew up, it's dead. And that's Brooklyn. I mean, that's where it used to be. Like if you're not in the right town, unfortunately, like I guess this applies to every sport, but especially baseball, which is so deep rooted, it's in so many places, it's lost its way. But I think you guys are doing it really well up there.
Yeah, I've actually a couple guys that I know that had to leave the league and they play in different parts. I don't want to, you know,
crap on them. Don't disparage anybody.
Yeah, but
why did they have to leave the league? I don't understand.
They kind of had to fine tune certain like people that were eligible to play in our district and whatnot. Just okay. Because it was, if you're not, you know, whatever. The league was big, which is fine, but they were just very much like, you have to go to these schools.
Okay,
or you have to live
you.
In this area.
I got
unfortunately.
You. So, very letter of the law.
Yeah, I'm not part of it.
Yeah, listen, I'm not making out a lineup. I ain't going to a meeting. I'm just coaching third base.
Exactly.
And hitting fungos, man.
But I've seen them go and play in like other areas. I'm like, oh man, like I feel bad for these kids, like because we got so lucky. Like Terry goes, dude. This Terry Collins was like, this is the greatest little league field I've ever seen in my life. Like, I can't believe you guys play on this on a daily basis.
Is that what he said?
Yeah, it's gorgeous.
No, I've seen the picture. Now, we have a new turf field, but the grass and dirt looks pretty good by you guys.
They professionally painted it and everything like that. It's fantastic.
Wait, they professionally painted what? The grass?
But they even got like the 2025 opening day.
They got like the logo?
Yes.
Where, in center field?
Like, yeah.
I didn't see
that. They got the E's on the side. I mean, they do it right. Yeah.
By the way,
I do have to, proud dad moment, Anthony turned a triple play the other day.
Well, hold on. We got to hear it. Listen, you do not sell this stuff short. So his son, Anthony's now seven?
Seven, yeah.
Okay. He turns a triple play. What position? What happened? Let me hear it.
He's playing first base.
Oh, first base.
It was a three.
What age group? Is he still playing up?
He's playing 8U.
Oh, there you go. Love it. Keep going.
So hits a fly ball. He catches it on the fly.
Is it right at him or does he have to move?
No, he's got to go back a couple steps, okay, but nothing
so
too crazy.
It's fairly routine.
Tracks it down. Yep. He tries to catch the guy at first base going back, but guy got back in time.
Okay.
He sees that the guy at second base, unfortunately, again, young kids,
was
still over at third base, so he ran to second base.
He didn't throw it. He ran to second.
He didn't.
That's two out.
And he steps on second base, gets second out.
Bang.
And then he sees the kid from home plate now running back to third, and then he threw it, and the kid made a nice scoop. So it was a 3-5 triple play.
Wow.
Yep.
What did the crowd do? That's
nuts. It was awesome, man. And he got like big hugs from his teammates and whatnot. So, but he's listen, and I won't knock it. Like he is very smart for his age. He knows what he wants to do with the ball.
He's like mommy, certainly not like dad.
Oh
smart.
Yeah. He's got he runs like dad, but he's good though. Like he has his intellect. He knows what he's doing. So again, but that's also because the local team, the local squad. They start young. They build it up.
It matters. Now, real quick on this. Can you guys, or do you, the older kids, I think it's 11 and 12. I'm still not sure because my son's 10. Can you play? Do you have an avenue to play in the Little League World Series?
Yeah, the 12U. 12U district team can play.
Okay, so have you guys ever gotten there? I think you go to Connecticut.
Yeah.
You do district, and then I think
the regional. And
like up in Bristol, right?
I don't remember if we've ever made it too far. I don't believe we've ever played in the actual Little League tournament.
Yeah, yeah. Like in Williamsport.
Yeah. But I know that they've gotten far. They've had some really good teams. And again, but everybody is just, those teams are, what I've realized now, a lot of those district teams, they are compiling the best. They're expanding their
variety. Of course they are. That's what you gotta do, man.
They're expanding their layout. Well, we're cutting it down. They're expanding, and they're picking up kids from all over the place.
But it's still got to be legal. I mean, it's got to be within the parameters of the district or however they break it down.
According to their rules,
yeah. I mean, we were in, I know we got a break. We were in, this stuff warms my heart. We were in Staten Island. We're always in Staten Island. We were in Staten Island again this weekend, coming up this past weekend, the weekend before. And I played, well, I didn't, my son did, at a stadium that he's never played at. And I'm forgetting the name. Like, we're always a great kill and he does these other spots and some dirt fields, whatever. South Shore, I think it's called. But we walk in and it was such an old, and some were new turf fields, right? But when you walk in, like, it's like this old grandstand. And there was this big painting commemorating the 1964 Staten Island Little League team that made it to the World Series. I love
that's
that
awesome.
Stuff.
That's great.
That's great. All right, 888-808-1019. BT and Sal got you here on the Fan Till 2. Back to these calls. Then it's Evan and Tiki coming up next at 2. So I was looking for something else on CBSSports.com, but I came across this where they gave you a little capsule on why each team's fan base should be excited, even the bad ones, even ours. All right, so here's what they wrote about the Giants. As exciting as Abdul Carter is and his injection along a defensive line that already consists of Brian Burns and Dexter Lawrence is, what gives Giants fans hope is Jackson Dart. The front office had enough faith in the Ole Miss product to trade back up into the first round of the draft to take him, and he is now the long-term answer at the position. Of course, it's a question as to whether we'll actually see Dart with Russell Wilson, likely the week one starter, but he still provides hope for a brighter tomorrow and heads to New York with a ton of raw skill. All right, well, that's the jive. Pretty basic stuff. What'd they write for the Jets here? Over the last few years, we've seen some once highly touted quarterbacks have late career blooms like Baker Mayfield, Geno Smith, and more recently Sam Darnold. For the Jets, they're rolling the dice on Justin Fields, potentially being the latest edition of that trend, inking the former Steelers quarterback to a two-year, $40 million deal. Last season, Fields was 4-2 as a starter for Pittsburgh, and the offense averaged 21 points a game. Given his relationship with former Buckeye teammate Garrett Wilson, there's reason to suggest that Fields could be even more productive during his tenure with New York. So, yeah, I would agree with both of those. I would even just say more directly, I think the Jets are going to have a chance to run the heck out of the football all around, and I think the Giants' defense is going to have an outside chance to be top 10. That would be my capsule. But still, reasons for optimism, even though football is a ways off. Let's get back to the Nick energy here. Let me get Mike in Wall. Mike, BT and Sal, what's happening?
Hey, BT, what's up, bud?
Hey, Mike.
First of all, love your take on Devin Williams. You have to put him out there in the eighth inning because he's got to figure it out. You brought him in to be a big guy. And who are you going to bring in? Mark Leiter? I mean, you got to stick with him. I agree with you 100%.
Mm-hmm.
Turn to the Knicks. I have your back 100% as a Knicks fan, as an old time Knicks fan. I'm 48. 100%. Like Tom Thibodeau, I want him to prove me wrong 1,000,000%. That's all I want. I want him to. I like him. I like him as a coach.
Yep.
I like what he does. I like his energy. I like every that part about it.
Mm-hmm.
What he's never proven this whole time is that he can get a team to the next level, which is what you've been saying. And he overworks his guys. Does it affect them when they get to the playoffs? I don't know. But he's never gotten to that level. And a lot of people point to that. So has he gone too far? Like, I'm worried that he's taken us as far as he could take us. That's my worry. I hope he proves me wrong. Because
yep.
Here's the deal.
Yep.
Like, there's some forward-thinking things that I would – listen, I've coached. I'm not a professional coach by any means. But one thing I was thinking last night as I'm watching the game is, you know, this Takemich stuff and the way that Kat's getting himself in trouble, a forward-thinking way of looking at it, and I'm not saying it's a solution by any means, but it's just something I know Thibodeau would never do. Why not start Mitch tonight? Why not let
them
try to foul him when he's not having to shoot free throws and then bring Kat off the bench?
Yeah, it's funny, Mike. It's funny you say that because somebody called up earlier in the show, and thanks for the call, buddy. They actually volunteered the same exact thing. Now, the way I reacted to what he said is the same way I'm going to react to yours. I don't mind it. It's just never going to happen because Kat's making $50 million a year, and he's the starting center in the All-Star game. So there are a lot of logical basketball reasons that would back up what you just said and what others, not many, but what a few others have said about that. Because Mitch can still do his thing defensively, could still rebound here, and hey, you want to foul him to make sure you get him on the line? That's great. But in the process of doing that, in the first 4 or 5 minutes of the game, to get to the requisite amount of fouls to get him on the line to do the Hack-a-Mitch thing, you're going, guess what you're going to do? You're going to have the Knicks probably take 20 free throws in the first quarter. Otherwise, you're not going to foul Mitch, which would be fine. And then the other thing is, now you know that when you unleash Karl Anthony Towns, 5 minutes in, 6 minutes in, 7 minutes in, comes in with no fouls, and he's fresh. So there are a lot of basketball reasons to say, man, that makes a whole world of sense. Never happening. I mean, literally never. But it's not a bad thought. Devin's up in Boston, Massachusetts. Devin.
BT, how are you, man? Good morning.
Good afternoon to you.
So I was in the building last night for game one.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You said
there
that.
Were,
yeah.
Yep. And yeah, you guys gave me the hook yesterday. Apologies for that. So there were not, you know, a good amount of Knicks fans. We stuck out, you know, the blue and orange sticks out within the sea of green. But the fans that were there, obviously, were supporting the team throughout the game. I think, for me, it's really the tale of two halves. I mean, I think when they went down big and got down by 20, I was like, okay, this is typical Thibs. We're not seeing anything from Cat. Bridges was not existent. And then I don't know what was said at halftime or what the morale, the speech that was given, but we need to get some insight into potentially what was said, because obviously with 6 minutes left to go in the third, something flipped. Brunson turned into the assassin again. We still didn't get a great game from Karl Anthony Towns, but you know, I know, you know, the callers today have been picking him apart, and rightfully so. But we're up one zip, right? And I think going into Wednesday's game, let's see. Maybe they turned the corner, as callers have said. Maybe they gelled. They are now more battle tested. And you know, down the stretch, we saw it's Brunson's game to win. We got a great game out of OG. We're going to need our entire starting five. The positive things I saw was we had Deuce out there hitting shots.
Yes.
He played with confidence. We
yes,
had Hart
he did.
Out there doing the little things.
Mm-hmm.
And the team got in early foul trouble. So as I'm watching the game again in person, you know, first quarter, they get down in foul trouble. And I'm like, okay, this is not looking good. We're going to get blown out. And then we got down by 20. Excuse me. And then Al Horford was shutting down Cat, and he kind of did so throughout the game. Regardless of all of those things, they won the game. And the game probably didn't even need to go to overtime. I'm not sure how Brunson missed that play right at the end.
Well, he's human.
He did. But either he is, and that's probably the only time we saw Brunson look, you know, like a mortal, right, for lack of a better way of putting it, in crunch time and down the stretch. But I think there's a lot of positive things to take into Wednesday's game.
Yep.
I'm, you know, for all the Knicks fans in New York or in Boston, take the train, take the bus, get a ticket, let's go.
And
then when it gets back to MSG, we got a home court. MSG's got to be the fortress. I hope the fans show up and it's loud and it's boisterous.
Well, of course, well, they're going to show up. Of course they're going to show up. And the
I'm just saying we got a home hold court and take
that's
this
on to the players, Devin. That's on the players. But I'm with you. I've been saying this for a while. Like, a lot changed last night, and a lot more is going to change if the Garden becomes that house of horrors for the opposition that it once was. It's not the Knicks fans' fault that the Knicks haven't played great basketball at home this year, 24-17 during the regular season. Knicks fans have done their job. It's the Knicks players who haven't answered the bell at the Garden. All right, so I haven't done this in a while. I like to lean on, sometimes too often, but a lot of times it hits the mark. And I think this will hit the mark with Tom Thibodeau. So, you know, I like my analogies, right? Now, if you love golf, and we used to have this conversation with Phil Mickelson before he finally cracked through and started winning some majors, and others that both did and did not crack through. To me, Tom Thibodeau is a terrific golfer who's won the Shell Open, you know, the Valero Open, I don't know, the Rocket Mortgage Classic, but he's never won a major. And there are, number one, there's no shame in that. You're still terrific, and you're still very accomplished, and the resume is still very good, and you're still a world-class golfer. He's just not all-time yet. And to me, again, you'd have to be a real golf fan to appreciate this, but a couple names that come to mind that do not have the major but have the background and the respect of everybody in the golf community. Steve Stricker is one. Matt Kuchar, Cooch. Colin Montgomery. Now, he annoyed us back in the day, but you still respect his game. And Lee Westwood, who for a minute or two was knocking on the door. We thought he was like number two in the world. So, you know, you can be really, really accomplished, and you haven't crossed that threshold that gets you into greatness. And there's nothing wrong with that, and it could still change. But until it changes, it hasn't changed, you know. So I think some of you have taken my reservations and concerns about Tom Thibodeau as disrespect, and it was never meant to be that. It was just contextualizing a very lengthy career so far and wondering if there's another level. You know, that's the Tom Thibodeau stuff right there. I feel so good for him if he wins, because I know he's a grinder. I know he's all in. He loves the game, and he's a hell of a culture guy, and he's a hell of a coach. But you gotta win.
Call of the day with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
Raising Babylon, right? BT and Sal, what's going on, buddy?
BT, who had the mop last night?
Yes.
And when I say mop, I'm talking about in the second half, momentum, opportunity, and being physical. That game was legend. It was a classic. anybody who watched that game, soak it in, dude, because that was legend, okay? And the Knicks really showed that they stepped up because they played the underdog. They exceeded expectations against the Celtics. I love the fact that the Knicks came back as the underdog, and all that momentum, opportunity, and physicality that they had in the second half, darn it, you tell me if they're not going to, if they have better than the puncher's chance.
Well, now they do. Now they do, right? Now they absolutely do.
There you go. And just like that, things change a little bit. Let's get back to the calls here. Hammer them through. Got a little more time left. Lenny and Yonkers. Lenny, what's going on?
Big T and Sal, awesome show.
What's up,
Lenny? I'll tell you what. Incredible, incredible win. Let's go New York, baby. Here we go. Rocky against Drago. The Russian's cut.
He's cut.
He's not a machine.
He's a man.
He's a man.
But I don't think, are the Celtics a machine? Are we giving them too much respect?
They are a machine. But guess what? They are arrogant, but they have to understand, this is no walk in the park. We're not intimidated.
No.
But I like to see OG, Hart, Deuce, Brunson, McCall, go to the rack, get to the free throw line, and get them in foul trouble.
Mm-hmm.
ASAP, old school basketball.
Yeah.
Do not miss your free throws, and please, 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 stop arguing with the refs. Get back on defense.
Yeah.
Imperative. Get back on defense. You know what?
Yeah.
And stop it. Enough is enough. Don't catch us sleeping. In 2 seconds,
mm-hmm.
You know? But I have an awesome story, okay?
Nice.
May 7th, I'm 27 years old, 1995.
Mm-hmm.
Blue collar seats, Reggie Miller game, okay? You know what happened.
Of course.
But here we go. We meet Patrick Ewing and all the players in the parking lot. But we go to Charlie O's across the street.
I used to love Charlie
right?
O's,
so
yep.
So who's in Charlie O's? Lawrence Taylor's at the urinal in the bathroom.
Oh, man.
Everybody's shaking his hand. Everybody's shaking his hand. I'm like, cuz, you're the best linebacker to ever live. Guess what? I ain't shaking your hand.
Yeah, he just went to the bathroom, buddy. I'm going to take a pass.
But listen, slowly but surely, we're going to destroy this beast. Tomorrow night is our night, bro.
All right,
like
Lenny.
Twins, our night, bro.
I love
Let's
it.
Let's go New York, that baby.
Atta
Here
boy.
We go New York.
Lenny's ready. Yeah, you talk about the urinal. My most scarring urinal story is I'm in Vegas, and what casino was I at? I don't even remember which one. And I'm at the urinal, minding my own business, looking straight ahead. And I see this, like, out of the peripherally, I think I feel it. Kind of, like, going against my thigh. It's this big pink, like the, you know, the thing that Jesse the Body Ventura wears, right? That, only it's attached to Dennis Rodman. So I'm like, what the hell? What's this guy? Like, I don't know. I was getting a little annoyed because it was creeping into my space. And when I looked over to see what the heck it was and who it was and what was going on, I caught a glimpse of Rodman's, and yeah, you just feel, you don't feel quite as good. If you know what I mean. But, yep, that was, wasn't even trying to see it. Couldn't help it. Louie's up in the Bronx. What's up, Lou?
What's up, BT? First of all, your analogy with Thibodeau to a golfer isn't even apples to oranges. It's apples to wrenches. It's a horrible analogy. First of all, a golfer, it's an individual sport.
Mm-hmm.
He gets on that 18 hole. He's making a putt. He makes it. He wins the tournament. It's on him. He misses it. It's on him. Thibodeau, he's a coach. He's dependent on his players. Let's take last night. The ball isn't stolen from Brown. Brown hits the three. We lose the game.
Yeah.
You're telling me Thibodeau blew this game?
All right, now hold on.
Come
a second,
on
Lou.
Now.
Let me hold
I'm
on.
Bring,
hold on.
I got a couple other
right,
things.
Hold on, Lou.
I'm going to hold your past on this now.
Hold on.
Go ahead.
So do you follow golf?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Okay, I got you.
Yeah.
Not
heavy, but I know what's going on.
I got you. Do you think that Steve Stricker's an all-time great?
No, of course not.
Okay,
no.
Hold on. Do you think that if Steve Stricker, and he had a chance several times, top tens, if he won a major or two, that he would be considered great? The answer is obviously yes.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, but because he didn't, he's not. Tom Thibodeau's yet to win, but I promise you, if he does win a championship, he will be elevated. That was the root of the analogy. That's it.
No, but and here's why I'm saying it's horrible.
Well, okay, whatever.
Because the guy doesn't win a couple of more tournaments and he doesn't elevate himself to that. It's on him. This ain't on. First of all, hey, listen, I just heard you say before also, you think Thibodeau's a good coach, but you don't believe he's a great coach.
I don't.
And you believe.
Not yet.
And you believe a great coach you need to win a championship. Right?
Name one all time great coach that doesn't have a championship.
No, I'm going to name you guys that do. How about Vogel? Thibodeau ain't better coach than Vogel?
I don't know.
Where's Vogel?
I don't know. Why is Frank Vogel?
It's Nick Nurse. Nick Nurse, how's he doing in Philly?
Ty Lue.
Ty Lue. When y'all giving you championship coaches that aren't as good as Thibodeau. And these guys want championships.
Louie, you're ignoring the details because you want to fit.
I'm not ignoring details.
Well, hold on a second. If his best player in Philly was healthy, you don't think that he's got a little bit of a different road, Nick Nurse, with the Sixers?
Okay. So here, I'm going to tell you something. If the Knicks weren't banked up last year, you don't think they get to the Eastern Conference Finals?
I do.
Okay, so how do you blame Thibodeau on that?
Well, I don't.
He's got banked up.
No, I don't.
OG was out.
I don't Russia blame him, Louie. Louie, I don't blame him. I can't scream all day. I love the passion. I can't scream over you. It's all good. I mean, you know, Frank Vogel, by the way, didn't just win a championship. He won 56 games with the Pacers. He won another 52, 49. Like, it's pretty close, only he's got a championship. Now, again, I'm not even saying that Frank Vogel's better than Tom Thibodeau. There are some outliers. There are some, to go back to the golfing community, there are some names you're like, dude, this guy won this guy won that PGA championship in 1990, whatever. How the hell did he win? I don't know. We got a little lucky. It's kind of a historical anomaly. Those things do happen. I do believe that if you've coached for 20-plus years and you don't have a championship and you've never even gotten to the NBA Finals, I can say you're really good. I can't say you're great. Listen, I remember saying, I don't know, I think it came up with Tiki back in the day, like, I am very protective of the word great. I think too many people throw it around loosely. Oh, yeah, he's a great player. Oh, yeah, it's a great game. Oh, he's an amazing coach. Great coach. Well, I just think we've become a little bit too loose with that. No, great is the highest level of excellence. And thus far, you might not like what I'm about to say. I don't even want to end up the show this way, but Louie started screaming like a lunatic. Thus far, that does not describe Tom Thibodeau to me. To me. Is he the highest level? Now, just like the Hall of Fame, there's varying levels of greatness. Let's face it. You take somebody like Tom Seaver. Of course, Tom Seaver's better than Don Sutton, but they're both, there's no separate wings. Even though it's been discussed for the steroid heads, whatever, first ballot. I get it. So, like, in the grand scheme of baseball, Don Sutton's great. Tom Seaver's great. Both Hall of Famers. Clearly, we know who's better. It's not even close. And, Pat Riley is an NBA champion, and so is Nick Nurse, and so is Frank Vogel. There's no comparison. Those guys couldn't shine Pat's shoes back in the day. But the Tom Thibodeau evaluation or conversation is a complex one. I grant you that.